Welcome to the Life and Leadership Podcast, where we share ideas, real life stories, and inspiration for powerful people to level up. Tegan Travato and Katie Rasool are recovering HR executives and professional life and leadership coaches. In each episode, they'll help you tap into your personal power and take your life and career to the next level. Tegan and Katie are committed to helping others discover their inner mission and rise to their highest potential, and they're working on it every day themselves. Are you ready to transform how you lead and live? This is your community, and these are your hosts, Tegan and Katie.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're talking today about owning the holidays, which is way better than just surviving.
Way, way better, Katie.
And it's really interesting. I feel like we have seen now the influx of all of the surviving the holidays, quote unquote, all over. And I've seen it everywhere. And we just need to turn the conversation a little bit. I would rather thrive and own it and really enjoy the time versus just getting through it and surviving. I don't know about you.
Totally. And I think the power in this is that people can literally choose to do it differently and to experience it differently. So we're going to talk today about a lot of the aspects related to that. So number one, we're going to talk a bit about why the holidays can be tough. And we've brought you a special activity today, really simple but impactful, of course, that'll help you hone in on what it is you love about your holidays, what you loathe about the holidays, and how to release the things you loathe and have more of what you love. Sounds pretty simple, but it's really impactful to sit down and actually think about that, because so many of us just go through the grind of the holiday and do it the way we inherited it. So we're going to talk about making that conscious choice to shift away from simply surviving to thriving.
And I think when we think about the choice as well, not just around the grind, but tradition, that's a big part of the holidays, and we'll talk about that in the show, but if we think about that as a way, we forget that it is in fact a choice how we approach the holidays, even when there are some lovely parts of it or traditions that we can always make a conscious choice about it.
Speaking of traditions, we're going to talk about how to create some new ones when we need to or when we want to. Of course, Katie and I will share some personal stories with you. And as always, when we close out, we're going to leave you with two powerful questions to ponder at the close of the episode.
Love that.
So, Katie, why don't we start talking a little bit about what we hear from our clients and what we know from our personal lives about why the holiday is a tough time for a lot of people?
I think the word that I hear the most is always busy. So I think of clients or other experiences with, you know, my friends that have kids, and there's 1,000 concerts and 1,000 holiday parties, and especially people in roles of influence or who are really connected in the community have something to wrap up literally every organization that they're a part of. And so it just becomes really intense. And we just sort of spin wheels and say, oh, I'm busy. And instead of feeling like we want to feel during the whole time, when it should be a time where we're enjoying each other and enjoying sort of this collective idea of joy and giving and care.
And I think a lot of people have it right. They've shed that kind of the busyness, that I've got to finish my shopping, the travel, and they've really gotten back to the purpose of the holidays, which on the outset we claim is about togetherness and about family and friends, whether it's our chosen family or our actual family. So some people are really getting back to the basics. I might be one of them, and I really can appreciate kind of turning the tables there. So I also hear a lot of people talk about financial stress from the spending and the obligations and the shoulding themselves around how great their present should be and what we should get Tommy and Susie, and they can't be better than each other's gifts, and just a lot of energy spent on the gifting process.
Oh, which makes it so hard, right? That's so unnecessary to be in that place of obligation. And I know I've seen that and experienced that in my time as well, and try and really let that go.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit, Tegan, about your, just what are your overall feelings when you think about the holidays? What's the words that come to mind for you?
Oh, the words now are just, they're really lovely. They weren't always that way, though. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about that. But for me, when I think about the holidays, it is family. It is togetherness. It's food. A lot of food.
I love food.
Yeah. A lot of sleep. I do feel like I finally get to catch up a little bit and recharge and come back to work like everybody else, going, do I have to go back today? I feel so chill and relaxed. So those are the things I think of. I think if there's anything that's maybe not as shiny and awesome as that, it's probably that there is some busyness. You know, the 2 days leading up to the actual holiday event, there's a lot of cooking and prepping and double checking. And so there's certainly peaks where I feel like things are a little spazzy.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm saying I love Christmas. In fact, I call it a season because rather than, you know, it shortens winter, which is nice in the Midwest, but it's just a time when I'm really tuned in to people feeling happy and just this collective feeling of joy. And I always experienced that. I thought it was really interesting. I worked in retail for a long part of my career, and it was always truly the most wonderful time of the year when people are shopping and they're in good moods. And once it hits December 21st, shit gets real. People start to panic.
Oh God.
But on the whole, it's just this, I can feel it in the air, which sounds super cheesy, but that's the reality.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, I have less fond memories of. So it's sort of interesting that those two things are different for me. And it really comes from a big part of, I would say, the history of Thanksgiving. My parents were both divorced and remarried, and I was always dating someone who had divorced parents. So it was really common for me growing up to go to as many as 5 houses in 3 days at Thanksgiving. Wow. So talk about obligation. It feels like everybody needs you at the same, you know, at their house within a day or within at least that weekend. And they're all serving the same food, which is hysterical. So you go and eat stuffing 1,000 times plus leftovers. And it just became this feeling of overwhelm. It was too much, and it just really drained energy. And it always felt like this huge obligation. So it was actually almost a nice reprieve when I was working in retail. I worked for a large retailer, so Black Friday was a big deal. And as stores opened earlier and earlier, so did the times I showed up to work. And that made Thanksgiving smaller and smaller, which didn't feel great. But at the same time, it also cut down on that weekend of what that meant for obligation, because people understood I had somewhere else
to
be. So it was almost kind of this nice escape from that feeling like I had to be 1,000 places at once. But now I'm kind of beyond all that and really starting to enjoy that time and that weekend and making sure I don't put too much in Thanksgiving weekend so that I can come out feeling like it was time well spent and good time with my family.
Tell the listeners how you navigated that, because you went from I'm overcommitted to oops, sorry, I can't, I'm working, to somewhere really great, because now you manage to enjoy your holiday. So how have you managed to own Thanksgiving specifically?
Part of it was just time, I think, and taking time, meaning it took several years to get there. But I also had to check my expectations at the door and figure out what of those obligations or the expectations were real from what people expected me to be somewhere, and what did I make up for myself. And it just became as simple as saying no or choosing this is where I'm going and not overcommitting. And frankly, everyone was totally okay with that.
Great.
So classic example of Katie assuming something or making up some story about how important it was for me to be somewhere. Not that my parents or other people don't want to see me over the holiday, of course, but it's just something that I let go of and really craft to make sure that the weekend is what I need. And that means I can show up better and the rest of the time, because I'm not feeling really depleted or angry or any of those other feelings that I used to feel about Thanksgiving.
Not very holiday like feelings.
But it took some time to kind of figure that out for myself and to come out the other side. And this Thanksgiving was lovely. It was really great Thanksgiving Day, and my husband and I make a point to plan nothing the day after other than just to hang out with each other.
Okay, that's owning your holiday right there. Love that idea.
I mean, what used to be Black Friday, right? Like the biggest day of the year for me is what should we do today?
Yeah.
Let's check out this activity and take naps, which has been a glorious shift.
I
so
love that.
It's been nice to make that adjustment.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, my holiday story from the past is a little different. And it's really interesting as you're sitting there talking, and it's occurring to me how opposite our stories are. And that's what life's all about. So I love that our listeners are going to get to hear two different perspectives about the way we kind of inherited the holiday tradition, or lack of, in my case. So, you know, I grew up with a single mother. My dad passed when I was young, and he passed around the holidays. And it was hard in our house. I mean, my mom suffered from mental and emotional problems that led to a lot of ups and downs. So there was a lot of lacking in the household. And so, you know, after I left home as a teenager, actually, I ended up not celebrating the holidays for several years. And you had a very small family, so there weren't really many options anyway. It was either going to be my siblings and my mother and I, or nobody else. So I spent a lot of years alone by choice. And that was a stretch of about probably 8 or 9 years of young adulthood. And part of the reason I did that was some secluding. Like, I just didn't know how to go be with someone else's family. It felt like such a special time, and I felt like I was intruding on people to accept invitations from friends or my friends' families. So I kind of stuck on my own.
And that makes perfect sense. I'm sure anyone would be happy to welcome you in and would have loved to have had you there.
Yeah.
But also totally understandable that you would feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for validating me, Katie. You're such a good coach. High five. Love you. So, yeah, I mean, but you said something too in your story about time, and took some time. And so it took time for me to heal from some of those wounds and to let some of the memories that were not so positive about the holidays fade away and choose to replace them. So there was a point in my life where I just made a really conscious decision of, what am I missing out on here? I mean, I'm the one punishing myself in some way. And as I made peace with that and kind of lived into that realization, I also came to realize that, you know, I'd held my friends and their love at arm's length. So I was rejecting them and rejecting their support, and in a way stealing something from them by not allowing them to show up for me. So the gift in the end of the day is that I got the kind of family I'd always hoped to have in marrying my husband. And so we now have this lovely holiday. We do cooking and everybody's really relaxed. There is no drama in this family. I mean, it's amazing. It doesn't mean we're all perfect, but I mean, we really do just get together and enjoy each other. We share the burden of the cooking and the cleaning and the gifting. And it's just a really lovely time. And that in itself has been so healing for me. But it took years to get there. It really did. Just on my own personal journey.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
So I want to ask a question about those years when you were alone for that time. Was it ever scary for you to imagine what a good holiday would be like?
What a good question, because as we were approaching this topic, I'm grinning from ear to ear if people can't hear. It wasn't scary. I did not know until I met my in-laws family that because I didn't have a good example, I couldn't even imagine what it could be like. So what I have now has superseded anything I could have been sitting around by myself dreaming up, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Isn't that fabulous?
Yeah.
So lucky.
That is awesome.
So for me, like, this is a big area. Like, I use the phrase shed your inheritance all the time. It's something I say with my clients. It's something I talk about. This is a big example of shedding my inheritance. I chose very mindfully, and I hope our listeners, if this resonates for you, you could just choose that that's not going to be your path, and that's not the way you're going to do it. And it does take some time to heal. And today, as we continue through the podcast, we'll talk about some ways to seed in some really good stuff over time so that it can shift in a bigger and longer lasting way, the same way it has for me, so, and for you.
So it sounds like the holidays have really shifted for you because you've worked hard on that. What are some of the things that you still don't love about the holidays? What's on your things that you still kind of loathe list?
Yeah. Yeah. So my loathe it list, I brought a couple today. I'm going to be really grinchy here and tell you guys the truth. I do not like holiday music. It's the worst. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe that's the last bit of my inheritance that's still there. Like, I just cannot do it. I will walk into places and there's some old 40s, 50s holiday music on. We all know the songs and the artists. And I'm just like, no, I just cannot. It just doesn't resonate for me. Except the Mariah Carey Christmas album. It is timeless and magical.
It is timeless. you guys, I'm laughing hysterically to myself over here because, and Tegan knows this, I love Christmas music.
We're two peas in a diverse little pod.
But if she gets in my car, I make sure I turn it off before
she
gets there.
You did. The last time I got in your car, you told me you'd had holiday music playing. Thank you. Thank you for honoring that about me.
I got you.
Yeah. So that's one thing I loathe, but in doing the activity we're going to ask the listeners to do, I really thought about how I could release that. Okay, here's a couple of ideas I have to release my loathing of holiday music. One, check out music that I might like for the holidays because there's always new stuff coming out. So, like, Sia is one of my favorite artists. I cannot imagine what her Christmas album sounds like, even though I love her, but it's out. I mean, I should check that out. Two, you know, I'm taking piano lessons, like I mentioned before. So why not learn something that's more classical, a classical Christmas piece that maybe, or holiday piece, that maybe doesn't have words or isn't really secular. So that could be another way. And the third could be to create just my own tradition. Like maybe we listen, while we're putting up the tree, we listen to some really ridiculous non-Christmas music, and that's actually the tradition in our house.
Oh, I love those ideas.
I know, right?
I think I'm going to make you a Spotify Christmas list.
Okay.
Tegan's anti-Christmas.
I am completely open
music
to receive
list.
That gift. Bring it on, sister.
That's good.
What's on your loathing list for the holidays?
Oh, I think the biggest thing is just being too busy or having too many events. So I'm really conscious about that. Mm-hmm. I, as an introvert, and I need time and space. So if I don't create it, it goes like Jekyll and Hyde real quick. So one of the things that I really do is just saying no to events,
okay,
or just kind of be unapologetic about things that I'm not able to commit to because,
yeah,
again, it comes back to this idea that I can be better for everyone, mm-hmm, around me if I don't turn into Grinchy McGrincherson.
Yeah, right.
About because I'm just overbooked or start to feel stressed.
Right.
So I think that's a big one for me. And, you know, I talked about challenging my perceptions, my own perceptions about other people's expectations of me.
Yeah.
Sort of a lesser importance item, I guess. I tend to be the person who manages all of the Christmas shopping, right? And so I love to do it early, often. One for you, one for me strategy. But
yeah.
if
oh,
people,
I love that strategy, by the way.
If people bust up my strategy, mm-hmm, and be like, oh, I would like this, and it's a week before Christmas or something that makes it really last minute, I really hate that.
Yeah.
I don't like to pay for shipping.
Okay, so how do you manage to release that part that you loathe?
If they don't sort of hit my window of, mm-hmm, comfort,
yeah,
then I just let it go, honestly.
Yeah.
It's either they kind of don't get my best because something I love, something on my love list, I love picking out the perfect gift for,
yeah,
people. Like,
yeah.
I just, that's the best
part
for me.
That's a talent, by the way. Yes, it's amazing.
And wrapping them really nicely. And so if we miss the window of all of that gloriousness, then it just, I'm like, okay, you missed it.
You let it go.
You get the less good version of my shopping, unfortunately. And that's what it ends up being. So I just don't take it. I don't like harbor it anymore.
Right.
It used to really make me angry. And now I'm like, whatever. Amazon gift card. I know you like it.
Yes. Okay. So you still do something where you create a win-win.
Yeah.
So they still get some love and attention. It just may not be the gift they let you know about 3 days before Christmas.
Yeah. Because really it's not so much about it's sort of, as I'm realizing this, as I'm saying it, is that they're robbing me of the joy of picking out the perfect gift for them.
Great realization. Yeah.
And so if I don't get to do that, then they just get a gift.
I also hear you releasing self-judgment about it too.
Yeah.
Which probably takes a little time or took some time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always never been in a place of, obligation or feeling like I need to get this or a tit for tat gift exchange type thing. But I really just truly love the joy of finding the perfect thoughtful thing for someone.
Yeah.
And so not having that opportunity or just having to buy something really quick makes me feel sad.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But really just let it go.
Yeah.
Just whoop, let it fly away.
Good.
Not let it steal my joy for the holidays. And I don't love people who are cranky. Like I
is that
someone,
on your loathing list?
It's on my loathing list.
Okay. If I'm it's someone, an item. Okay.
If I'm someone who really takes on people's emotions really, really easily. Mm-hmm. So if there's people around me who are total Scrooges, I'm like, can't do it.
Okay.
Get out of my ether.
Like, yeah.
Because I don't want to suck up your bad juju about the holidays. So I tend to just remove myself from those people or those situations or just not allow myself to kind of soak up that energy because I know it's really easy for me to do that.
Yeah. So I hear a lot of joy robbers. That's the thing. If I were to put all of your loathing in the bucket, it's the joy robbers.
Yes. Don't steal my sparkle, people.
Really? It's such a lovely sparkle. Everybody wants some of it as part of the problem, probably. So, and you know, now that I just said that, I think that maybe that is what the loathing list really is all about for everyone. It's about someone stealing the joy.
Yeah.
Probably more often than not. So,
good point.
Oh. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Should we talk about the love list?
Yes. What's on your love list?
You know, hearing about other people's tradition is on my love list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So since, you know, now everybody's heard my backstory, you can understand why I may be curious naturally about how other people celebrate the holidays. But one of the things I think I love most about asking people about their traditions is you sort of watch them drift into this happy zone that is so just deep, and they're smiling so honestly while they talk about their tradition, and I mean to the point where they're staring off into space while they're talking about it, just reliving the happiness. And that is contagious. It's a gift, right? I'm not stealing their joy. I'm just inheriting a little bit of it. I just love to feel that happiness with them when I'm sitting and hearing it. So one of the things we talk about with this activity with our clients is how do you have more of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I really want to make a conscious effort the remainder of this year to ask more people about their tradition, because we allow it to come up when it's organic, but I don't think I've ever made an intentional effort to just say, oh, what's your favorite tradition about your holidays? First of all, what holidays do you celebrate?
Right.
Because that's what really, like, I love to hear about the diversity of the holidays and what different traditions are in line with each kind of religion or belief system. So I really want to be more intentional about that going forward.
What do you think about the idea of collecting people's traditions and just trying them out, the ones that you like?
Mm.
Not in the sense of needing to keep all of them, but this year I liked these three things, like ordering Chinese food on this day or whatever.
Yeah.
And just trying them on for size.
I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in that for a lot of aspects of life, right? But yeah, for sure. I mean, that's how you create your own stuff, is to try things on. If it doesn't feel good, reject it for the next year and try something else. So yeah, I love that idea.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. What's on your love list?
I talked about the holiday spirit. I know that sounds so cheesy, you guys, but I just can feel it. I love it. I think I experience that a lot being around shoppers, especially. And Christmas for me starts, I'm still on retail schedule, so November 1st.
Even though you're not in retail.
It's been years, but I just can't help myself because I want to maximize the time. But I love spending quality time with the people that you care about. I think that is really what it's all about. And then the chosen traditions are keeping it fun, being able to make new traditions with your family that just feel right. And the feeling right comes from that that experience that you described, where people go into this place of fond memories and drift off. I think that's really nice. And I talked about finding the perfect gifts for people. That's, since it's gift giving season, that's just what I love to do, is spend time on that.
Yeah. I also love cooking. I mean, I cannot, it is an extravaganza for a couple of days leading up to the holidays. So even though that's part of the toil, right, and the kind of craziness, one of the great things I did inherit from my mother is this just love for cooking. And I really am a believer that you can put love into your food and it's togetherness. And I have a lot of fun experimenting. It's the only time of the year I actually bake vegan, gluten-free food. Like, I mean, it would be dangerous for me to have baked goods around my house all the time. So I literally only get around to that during the holidays. I just have such a great time. I mean, one year I brought this absurdly huge vegan dessert tray to the family holiday. I don't know what I was thinking. I could have fed a family of 30, but I was just having such a good time. So more cupcakes went in the tin and more pie went in the tin. And before you knew it, I had this insanely large tray. But it made me so happy to bring it. It was aesthetically beautiful. It was delicious. It was made with love. So I just have a really great time doing that.
Vegan baked goods freeze well?
I've never freezed them because everybody gobbles them up.
Oh, that's good. That's what the rest of us do is we just eat cookies in our freezer till March.
Okay, I'll have to try it just so I can continue to eat them all like first quarter of the year. But I don't need that. It was funny. The one thing about vegan baked goods is that you can't tell they're vegan. I mean, if it's a decently made product, no one has a clue.
Do you tell people? I mean, I'm sure they know. Mm-mm. Or you just sort of put out delicious.
My family knows, right?
Of course.
But yeah, I've definitely served food where people are like, this is amazing. And I'm like, that was made with tofu. And they're like, it's a dessert. And I'm like, yeah, it's delicious, right? So you just don't need to always plant the seed. I mean, if someone may have an allergy to something I put in there, of course, I'll bring, you know, this is made with cashews. Everyone needs to know. But for the most part, yeah, I don't need to announce it. Or people will ask. I won't lie if they ask, of course.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
One of the things I want to talk about is kind of self-care routine during the holidays. So the idea that it gets really busy and it's harder to eat well and to exercise or do whatever that self-care means to you. What are some things that you do to stay on track?
Yeah. You know, I mentioned that getting sleep. I actually get more sleep around the holidays, which is just such a gift because I'm not a good sleeper. So I always look forward to that. So in that regard, my self-care routine improves. Where things have not gone great for me, I like to feel light in my body. And so that means not like being too full. It means eating frequent small meals. But in the holidays, that kind of goes out the window because you heard about my baked goods tray. So I think for me, self-care is really around like the volume of food, the quality of the food, making sure I'm still eating the amounts of vegetables that I would normally eat and like the staples in my diet. Because I treat my tendencies towards anxiety and depression with food and exercise. I have a whole holistic approach to that. So for me to eat unhealthily for more than a day or two will actually leave me feeling kind of low and kind of lethargic and a little blue. So talk about self-care. That's why we practice self-care, is to feel the opposite of that. So for me, food and exercise just have a ton to do with it. So my family is actually pretty good about let's go for a walk after Thanksgiving meal, or let's go for a walk after we open presents, or someone will hop on the spin bike in the guest room or something, you know, so I have plenty of options to move a bit. And then the other part's just a little self-discipline around serving sizes and diversity of food on my plate and making sure that I'm sticking with that. The piece I need to work on, Katie, is my mindfulness practice. So because there's so much togetherness, there's not a lot of alone time. And so I do kind of tend to end up feeling after a few days like I'm missing my meditation or my reflection time. So for this year, to protect that part of my self-care routine, I really want to make sure I still get in a 5-minute journaling session every day, 10 minutes of mind space meditation on that app or something. So that, I'm going to say that now, is my commitment to self-care for this year.
That's nice.
How about you?
I think protecting the downtime that I need, so whether that's meditating or just time to myself where I can kind of recharge my batteries and making sure I build that in is critical. So I really make sure that it's literally on my calendar on a regular basis. I think the other thing that I do is whenever I feel myself getting an attitude about something, like some sort of event coming up, and then just recognizing that and really making a conscious effort to check it and figure out why I feel that way and go in before I go with a different mindset. So I think I can think of a couple times where I had some events coming up that I just had such a bad attitude and could feel a lot of stress and anxiety, and worked with my coach to just reset my frame of mind so that I went into it with a much better approach. And it, nothing was really terribly different other than the fact that I went in feeling all Hakuna Matata about it instead of...
Much preferred.
Yeah, it's much preferred. Instead of feeling like I had to have my dukes up kind of when I walked in the door. So that's been, that was sort of a revelation the first time I did that for me. And now I, once I can recognize it ahead of time, I can do something about it before I get there and then actually enjoy the event or the family time or whatever was I was struggling with before.
That's a pretty huge shift.
Yeah, I mean, it's so simple, really. Mm-hmm. But to just have never realized it before, never realized that I could choose or make, do something about how I felt before I went in. And that just changed the entire experience.
Yeah.
Especially if you are having that feeling about something that's longer, like a family visit where you're doing something for 4 days. I'm not talking like a 2-hour work holiday party. You know, something that's longer, that can be really draining.
Yeah.
If you are going in with
the wrong mindset,
a negative mindset.
Right.
And so just having that awareness to be able to make the shift for yourself, it's just, if that's self-care, that's just for you.
Yeah.
That's not changing anything for anyone else. It's just checking your attitude at the door, really, and feeling much better about it. So I think that's something I am much more aware of and make a conscious effort on now.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking about that, it was really hitting home for me in thinking a lot about, well, my first story about spending holidays alone, and then also thinking about my clients who have some similar feelings around, like, well, everybody comes first, we're busy, there's no downtime. It's really about feeling deserving of having those things. And so I just wanted to kind of add that in as a little punctuation mark, because what I hear you saying when you talk about that is, you know, I discovered my deservingness in this, right? Like, I claimed my space on that, and I'm taking care of myself now first so that I can fully engage with everyone else. And I think it's beautiful, but it also made me just think, gosh, how many times have we not paused to recognize that it's about feeling deserving in our lives, that we give ourselves the attention and the time first before we serve others?
Oh, that's so true. And I think of, you know, how much time people spend at work. It's a busy time as people finish out the year, and it then all of family obligations. It becomes this place where it's, I think, really easy for a lot of us to turn into martyrs and just feel like, oh,
powerless.
Or, I can't or don't deserve. That's really the underlying piece.
Yeah.
To have this time alone or to go to the gym or whatever it is that you stop doing in that time to make it a better experience. And it really is all a choice. It just means you give something else up. And what does that mean? And there's plenty of things that if we reviewed them, we could say, you know what? We could give that up and be just fine.
I'm so glad you brought self-care to the table today. It is such an important piece for the holidays. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I think that we forget to allow ourselves the permission for that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
I want to shift us a bit and talk about work.
Yes.
Let's leave self-care and talk about work. Two things that often are not close cousins.
No.
You know, as we were preparing to talk about this, I was reflecting a little bit for myself on what tends to be hard outside of the holidays. Like, what are the factors that are kind of running parallel to the holiday season? And for many people whose businesses are in calendar year, they're busy sprinting from October through December to hit those business goals or get as close as they can to that. And, or they may be planning for the upcoming year and doing all their financial budgeting, all of their look backs from a financial perspective and a goal achievement perspective, looking at hiring, forecasting, and resources. I mean, it can be insane at work this time of year. So for a lot of folks that have not been in HR, like Katie and I have, we think from an external perspective, well, everything's dead, everybody's on holiday, like there's no hiring going on, or there's, you know, not a lot going on at work in general. Not true. Not true for the leadership teams, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that can be some of the craziest times of year.
Or for sales. And we, to that same idea, I mean, for us in HR, when that was the space Q1 is always really busy mm-hmm. in organizations for reviews or benefits starting or all sorts of other things. But there's a lot of people who have that. So they, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so accountants, for example, start this year just on this marathon path, right? And so maybe their November, December wasn't as crazy, but then they spend all of this energy on the holidays, and mm-hmm. that's when the real work begins is January at work. And then it becomes, well, I'm already, you know, half empty in the tank when I start what's the really tough time at work. So it almost kind of bookends for people depending on their cycle at work. That can be really challenging to put that next to that much energy expended around the holidays.
Yeah, because it is such a huge energy drain. So, I mean, I remember, especially when I was working in-house for organizations, and I was an employee for other people, just feeling like, okay, I have 4 hours to cook 2 days worth of food, because that's all I had left in time, you know, mm-hmm. to get ready for the holidays. And thank goodness that's not my life anymore. But what I have traded in now as an entrepreneur is sort of different stress, which I know you can relate to as a fellow entrepreneur. That, you know, we close the year out just like every business does. We look back and we analyze, you know, what do we want to do better in the following year? What are our financial goals? What are our business objectives? And most of the time, the end of the year is pretty quiet for new business deals.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Especially like in the coaching and consulting world and training, this is not the peak time for spending. And so while we're busy wrapping up things, the pipeline can start to feel a little bit quiet. And so this is my third Q4 as an entrepreneur. So I have finally arrived at a place of faith of, look, by January, I'm gangbusters and I can't come up for air until October of the next year. So I know it's all going to come together, but I still fight with that fear a little bit of, oh my God, is anyone going to call me? Anybody going to call me back? Are we going to push these deals through? Like, it starts to get a little uncomfortable. And I appreciate that lesson so much, because when we work inside of organizations, you know, unless you're the CEO or the head of sales, you're not really sweating that.
Yeah.
You're collecting your paycheck. You can count on that. You have to hit your personal goals, but it's not your job to keep the lights on. And so I'm really humbled by that in this third year, but finally learning to enjoy it, Katie. And accept the downtime a little bit, do good things with it, not worry through it, but have fun.
Yeah. Like, oh, what could you do with all of that time? Or what new traditions or other things that you talked about to really love the holidays?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. It's the choice. Again, this is a great example of making the choice of, instead of closing Q4 and finding myself with 15 hours a week on my hands and worrying about that, I'm like, cool, I'm going to the gym extra, I'm going to go to this show, I'm going to eat out every day just for fun. I mean, you can do, that's why you work hard all year as an entrepreneur, is to actually enjoy that downtime. But it takes a little practice. And I can't say all entrepreneurs have figured that out. There's still a lot of fear around slow times and quiet times. So anyway.
Definitely. No, I can relate to that entirely. And I'm not in year three. I mean, year two, or the second time I've experienced the Q4 freeze, if you will. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it makes sense. And it's just, I don't know, the universe has a way of just delivering what it needs to be at the right time. Yeah. So I'm trying to really find some trust and faith in that, like you talked about.
The universe delivers, and the fact that you kept your pipeline full eventually delivers as well, right? Like, that's the other side. That's the science side, that we've fed the pipeline and everything's going to come through the funnel at the end. So, but I think this is, you know, it's another great punctuation point for our listeners to think about, okay, what have you been giving work through the holidays? And good for you, because you should. That's how you pay your bills, and that's how you serve your clients and your boss and your teams and your employees. But what do you need to do? What do you need to pause on? You know, who can help you lift some of that burden so that you can be with your family? And if you think strategically about the time you're spending at work, what small changes could you make so that by the time the holiday actually is here, whether it's the day before or the day of, you are fully with your family and friends, you're present, you're open to receiving the rest that you have access to, even if it's just for a day, and you really can just be in it, instead of speeding through that the way you just sprinted through your business objectives.
Yeah. Oh, that's so true. And I think it's not always easy at work to say no to things or just, oh, I'm going to get rid of this or this, or as you might be able to in your personal life. But sometimes I kind of even challenge that assumption that we make. We're like, well, my boss asked for this, or I need to do this. Mm-hmm. And how true is that? Or what are some things that you can say no to, or say this is going to be Q1 because I'm kind of crafting the December that I need it to be for your whole person as a human.
Yeah, totally. Great. You know, one of the things we've talked about a little bit, Katie and I have together, is the idea that the holidays aren't just about giving. It's also about receiving. So, you know, that kind of is a theme that runs through that story I shared about my family and my history of just learning to receive love and invitations and say yes and be open, even if it feels a little awkward sometimes. But I wonder for you, Katie, where that kind of lives in your world.
You and I have talked a little bit about this. That's, I'm not a very good receiver. I've realized this about myself.
What is with
over
us on
time.
This? I mean, give me all the gifts. I want to be the yes girl on that front.
I know, and I love, especially at the holidays. I love that, but I am totally someone who doesn't want to put someone out or doesn't want to be a burden. So I totally understand what you're talking about in that receiving piece with your holidays where you spend them alone. So I'm really working on that, but I also, part of it too is sort of a love giving without any expectation of receiving.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's part of the gift giving piece for me is that I frequently, sometimes I'll catch myself thinking, oh, I'm going to get this. I found this gift. I'm going to get this for my friend. Mm-hmm. And then are they going to give me something? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's probably going to surprise them. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, screw it, whatever. Like, I just want to, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I don't expect anything back.
Yeah.
And that's part of the joy of that is some of the giving without any expectation of receiving. So I'm trying to, I'm in that space, but also when someone wants to reciprocate or provide back, to be open to receiving that.
Yeah.
Because I think normally I would probably have a higher repellent up of, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
No need to help me.
I don't want to be any trouble. Back to what you said.
Yeah. So I'm just more in the awareness phase and sort of opening that up. I don't know that I've solved that entirely yet, but I think that's at least half the battle is being aware of it.
I think I'm better. I'm definitely okay with the gift, like the tangible gifts now. Like I'm good on that front. Like I'll take them. I love it. Yeah. Thank you. I think it's more that, detaching from the outcome piece about receiving and giving that has grown for me over time. I think being a professional coach over the years has helped me really hardwire just detaching from the outcome, right? Because we work with our clients, they design their future paths. We don't. Mm-hmm. We support them in having what they want. And it's tempting as a human, and especially as a part-time consultant, right? Because we both do some consulting work with organizations, to want to design the outcome. And as coaches, we have to release that. That's not our jobs. In fact, that disables our clients. Mm-hmm. So I see some similarity there in the giving and receiving part, that if you can just detach from the outcome, even in that regard, you're just open to experience whatever unfolds. So,
that's so true. Yeah. And that was a challenging lesson to learn in being a coach, is to not be attached, especially when you're working for for-profit companies.
Oh, where you are married to the outcome big time. Yeah.
And you have a lot of responsibility in a lot of outcomes and making sure that those things happen. Now, it's a complete opposite shift. And that has really opened me up in the last year or two to release a lot, just not being attached to the outcome or how things turn out.
Yeah.
And that's a good call out. I don't know that I would have even known about that or thought about that 3 years ago.
Yep.
Was not in my front windshield.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, it is now, right?
It is.
You talked a little bit earlier, Katie, about creating your own traditions. And I know it's something we wanted to talk about today. And so when we were talking about this together as friends, we talked about designing our own traditions around how we want to feel, not around how we want others to feel necessarily. We want them to come with us in the experience, and by proxy, they usually do have a really great feeling with us. But we do so much, especially those of you who are parents, around trying to create traditions that lead others to certain feelings, but how exhausting might that be for us sometimes? Yes. So for our listeners today to think about what traditions they might want to add for themselves, putting themselves first, let's talk a little bit about starting with how you want to feel.
I just want to feel and kind of share this with others is love and belonging. So if it doesn't check a box of that sort, then I'm not sure that I want to do that. And it has helped me figure out how to spend my time.
Yeah.
Where instead of like creating these big experiences or spending a lot of money.
Or projects.
Yeah. You know, I don't feel a lot of belonging when I'm just yelling at my toddler for spilling flour because I insisted on baking cookies together.
There's a story.
Right. That was a bad idea. But that, like, then I just get upset where all we need to do is sit and watch a movie on the couch. Mm-hmm. And that creates the feeling of love and belonging. And then that feels really good.
Love it.
One of the traditions that I started last year and will continue is reading with my family and my kids the night before Christmas on Christmas Eve. So we bought the nice book. So just kind of create this, everyone get around the couch and read this book together. And so it's just things like that that don't have to be big or expensive and fit in with my need to have some downtime.
Yeah.
So it doesn't overcomplicate things for me.
That's great. Mm-hmm. For me, in creating some of my traditions, I wanted to work from the theme of allowing versus forcing. Because we do a lot of like creating, like you said, experiences, projects, things that we need to do or be that don't necessarily recharge us or make us feel great. And this is I hope this doesn't sound like a cop out, honestly, but in the sense of allowing, you know, I happily received my in-laws, my husband's family's traditions, and just really leaned into that and just showed up and said, let me experience this, and what do you guys do? And let me just be a part of that, which, as you know from my story, is a huge transition. So in the sense of allowing and just being, I want to just feel present. I want to just feel engaged. And so I was able in this situation to just receive somebody else's traditions and have added my own since then, right? Like the oversized dessert portions or whatever, right, that I like to bake. But and all the cooking that I like to do is my tradition that is a natural tradition for a lot of families. But I've certainly brought my own element to that now. And that creates some togetherness, which is another feeling that I aspire to have around the holidays. So, I mean, one of the things when I'm talking with friends and clients about creating traditions is to design one based on how they want to feel and then talk about it and own it and actually say it out loud while they're doing the thing or approaching doing the thing. And if there's naysayers, you can tell them to take a hike because some people don't want to adopt your tradition, and that's fine because it's yours.
And I think some people are afraid to feel what you are trying to feel.
Yeah. Ooh, so what a good point.
The idea of, you know, how when I asked, are you afraid to have this great holiday? I think some people are, you know, afraid of the unknown of having a stress-free holiday or having this feeling of love and belonging. Or if I try and receive that and it doesn't come, then I feel really disappointed. And so I think that this idea of being, you know, if we approach our holidays with how do we want to be, how do we want to feel, and if it all aligns to that, that it will happen instead of collecting this giant to-do list of things to do, how do you want to be?
Yeah.
And
don't run your holidays like a business. We don't have to do the holidays like a corporate engagement or a project, right? It can be much different from that.
Exactly.
It's cool. So listeners, we want to just provide you with this really simple activity, just a recap of how to make your love it and loathe it list and leverage that as we're closing out today. And we'll include these instructions in the show notes, but it's really simple. You're going to make a list with two columns, the left column right on the top, I love it. And then in parentheses, fire it up. In the right column, right, I loathe it. And in parentheses, right, release it.
Shut it down.
Shut it down. So your love it list should be, I think it's pretty easy to sit and think about. Your loathe it list might take a little time, and you might really have to kind of monitor this holiday season for the thing you notice or things you notice that are draining your energy. But what we would challenge you to do as coaches is to design a different way to experience it. So if you loathe it, how are you going to let it go? If it's something that has to be in your life, what are you going to couch it with to make it feel better for you, more authentic, and like something that can be actually lovely for you to experience? So we would challenge you to try that on. It doesn't have to be a long list. I think Katie and I each came up with 3 for each column. And it was really impactful and thought-provoking and got me jazzed about how we're going to finish the holiday season. So as we close out today, Katie, what powerful question did you bring to the table for our listeners?
Yeah, it's after you do your homework of making this list, my question to the listeners is to pick that top loathe. Mm. And to answer the question is, how are you going to release that top loathe?
Love
how
it.
Are you actually going to take a step and take some action into creating a different reality for yourself? So sometimes that could be asking yourself the right questions, you know, letting it go, just reframing your mindset. But how are you going to release that top loathe on your list?
I love it. And I love that you just said pick one, because I just said make a list as long as you want. But I love your idea with this powerful question of just pick one, move the needle on one, right? In the spirit of not creating projects, what one thing would you like to release? I love it.
And when you do one, you realize it is possible, mm-hmm. and then you naturally start to do some of the others. But Tegan, what is your powerful question for the week?
Yeah. What I would love for everyone to think about is the feeling you most want to feel over the holiday and how you're going to give that to yourself. So when you look back at the holidays, what have you loved most or what's missing that you want to feel? And be thoughtful and conscious in designing that for yourself this year. Try that on.
Love that.
Yeah. So guys, be sure to check out our show notes for these activities and the powerful questions that you can ponder and or journal about, whatever your practice is. I want to wish you a happy holidays and remind you to go own it. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you like what you hear, please go to iTunes and subscribe, like, and give 5 stars to the podcast. Discover more opportunities for growth by visiting brightarrowcoaching.com and teamawesomecoaching.com. We hope you gained some new awareness today, and we can't wait to feel the change you make in the world. Join us next time on the Life and Leadership Podcast.